Welcome to Wellness and Dentistry. My name is Dr. Martin Mendelson. I'm a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and thought leader. And I'm joined by my friend and my co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who's a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together, we have helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness and dentistry, both here on this podcast and also in our two-day in-person workshop called Lightside Live, which will be held in Southern California this coming November 1st and 2nd. So if you're looking for more information on that, please go to wellnessanddentistry.com and you'll find a link to our live course. Now, today, what we're going to be talking about is relationships, the good, the bad, the ugly, what drives positive ones, what can create negativity and reduction in those relationships. And so we're super excited to dive in and talk about that. So how you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing good. My relationships are good right now, actually. So yes. Things are good.
Yes, they're in a good place.
Yeah, so, this topic, you know, you and I had talked about this topic, but really for me, it starts off with a story. Mm-hmm. And I heard this story from my first mentor, Pascal Monnier. And I don't know if it's true or if he heard it from someone else or whatever, but I heard this story that there was some gigantic Congress in Europe somewhere. And a guy named Willy Geller was supposed to be the headliner. And for those that don't know, Willy Geller started the biggest lab, high-end kind of group around the world. These are like the best lab technicians in the world. And Willy Geller is their god. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's an older guy. I think he's Swiss. And, supposedly, there's thousands of people in the room. They say, okay, and Willy Geller is coming on. A video plays of like things dripping from someone's mouth, you know, beautiful, probably female mouths. There's, you know, water coming down, and there's all this visual stuff, and there's music, and people are like, ooh, wow. And supposedly, Willy comes up and says, dentistry is about relationships. So turn and talk to your friends and leaves.
Yeah. I've actually heard that story.
Have you heard that story? Okay. It must be true.
I believe it is true. Yes. I believe
so. People were pissed because mm-hmm. they paid all this money. They wanted to see how he's stacking porcelain and how he's doing these difficult cases and how you can, you know, all the things that Willy is known for. And I think it's very profound, actually.
Yeah.
Because after being in this business maybe 20-something years, since I was an assistant, okay, I was an oral surgery assistant, and then went to dental school, and then did residency, and then, you know, been in practice for many years. What I take away from this business, from this profession, are the relationships.
Yeah.
It's the assistants that I worked at a DSO for 6 yeah. months, but we became great friends and are still friends on Instagram and talk to each other every once in a while. It's the colleagues that I've met traveling around the world and, you know, having dinner with. It's the lab technicians that saved my ass when the denture broke and the patient was sedated and all this stuff. I mean, it's the people, really. Absolutely. And of course, the patients too. I have great relationships with patients that I've become friends with, and I know their children, and, you know, we talk all the time now. And that's really what I take away from it. But this is very much in hindsight for me, because during my burnout, during my hard time, I wasn't focusing on the relationships. I was focusing on the work.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can be very easy to get tunnel visioned and create our own self-isolation around that. In fact, you're making me think, you have said so many times, one of my favorite books is The Happiness Advantage by Sean Accor. And he talks about the time when he became very depressed, and that the natural human inclination for many of us, most of us, is to kind of retreat and to go yeah. into yourself. And he chose the exact opposite. And he chose to be vulnerable, as Brené Brown would talk about. And he reached out to people and said, hey, look, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but I'm having a really hard time. I really need y'all right now. And the response he got from his friends really kind of helped bring him out of his funk, because so it's such an important tool. And I think so many times there's this cacophony of voices in our heads, so to speak, relative to, well, I can't admit this, or I can't talk about that, or they're competing with me here, or if, you know, I don't want to give away my secrets, or whatever the case may be. And that creates our own isolation, that creates our own loneliness, that creates our own vicious cycle of loneliness, frankly.
What's so surprising for me, being where I am now, looking in hindsight on where I came from and what I went through, is most of what I take away from dentistry and what, you know, when I'm fully retired and not working, what I will take away are these relationships.
Yeah.
However, up until the point of when I had my burnout, I never put an ounce of effort or money or time into learning how to develop better relationships.
Yeah.
I never learned about communication. I never learned about your body language. I never learned how to be a good friend. I feel like I am a good friend, but I never learned that. I never put
Yeah.
effort into it.
Yeah.
But now, looking back in hindsight, I realize how important it is. And, you know, shameless plug, this is why you and I are teaching this stuff, because
sure.
there aren't that many people in dentistry that are teaching this, but it's so important.
Yeah. And I think that there's a place for social media in this world, and it does a lot of good, and it also does a lot of harm. And I think we all need to be very careful that posting constantly on any social media group, I don't care what it is, it could be basket weaving, is no replacement for in-person interaction. And we can never lose sight of that, because, okay, sure, fine, we can text people, we can message people, but at the end of the day, that you can never replace the beauty that is the interpersonal dialogue, the relationship, just being in the same room with someone else that you care about, or just even like, let alone care about, is so healing and freeing and important to bringing ourselves forward. And if the only person we talk to is ourselves, well, we're always going to be right.
And I like what you said about freeing, because what you and I see for the people that we work with that take our courses, or that maybe don't even take our courses, that learn somewhere else about other things, the dentist or the dental professionals, the assistants, the front office, the hygienists that learn how to have relationships. It sounds so silly, right?
Yeah.
But little things like you teach crucial conversations, a very important topic in relationships, because great relationships have up and downs.
Yeah.
And this can be romantic relationships. This can be friends. These can be work relationships. But there's times when, for example, your office manager, who he or she is just your right-hand person, they are always helpful. And sometimes they're in a bad mood, or they screw up, or they've had a bad month, and we need to have this crucial conversation with them. But if we don't have the tools or the protocols how to do it, we just go on whatever we think we know, and this can worsen that relationship. And from a business standpoint, when you worsen a relationship and someone leaves, for example, this is terrible. I mean, I heard the other day, I don't want to, don't take this quote word for word, but it was something like, when you lose a team member, you're going to spend 120% of their salary finding and training the new one.
No, 100%, 100%. I think what the thing we all need to be most careful of, myself included, and what I've observed with thousands of people, and not just dental professionals, just people, is we got to be very careful to sit in the curious place, not the assumptive or judgmental place, depending on the situation. And so, I mean, I'll give you an example. You know this, I had hand surgery again in, I think it was May. And one of my dearest friends, like, I didn't hear from him before the surgery. That wasn't a big deal. But I texted him and I was like, hey, came out of surgery, everything went well. He's like, oh, I'm glad, you know, I hope you heal quickly. And I didn't hear from him for like weeks. And this is one of my best friends. And so I just took it upon myself. I'm like, I'm not going to make any assumptions. Like, I'm not going to get mad. Was I disappointed? Yeah. Did I get mad? No. So I just said, hey, listen, I haven't heard from you since I came out of recovery. It's been X number of weeks. I don't want you to think for a minute I don't love you, but I do want you to understand that I'm kind of questioning what's going on right now. So I'd love to chat with you about it. From my perspective, I'm making up stories like, why haven't you called or texted? You know, do you not care what's going on? Like, what's up with you? Is that, you know, what's going on in your life? The next thing you know, I found out all this stuff that I didn't even know about his life. And it opened up the door. And by the way, for those of the uninitiated, I just went through the five steps of crucial conversations, but it works like a charm. But this isn't about teaching crucial conversations. What this is about getting people to understand that relationships are about communication. Communication is about vulnerability. Communication is not about assumption. It's about curiosity, putting the judgment and assumption aside to invite the dialogue to get to the thing behind the thing, as my coaches Jen and Karen would tell me.
What you did was like anything that we do in dentistry.
Yeah.
Practice.
Oh yeah.
You know, years ago, you didn't know that protocol.
Nope.
And even maybe 3 years ago, you may have not have been as good at it as you just said it right now.
Yep.
And I learned it from you whenever it was 2-3 years ago. And I still have to think about it or look at the sheet or pre-practice. But just like how we prep 100 crowns before you get good at it,
yeah,
having 100 crucial conversations makes you good at relationships.
Absolutely.
And that's really what I want to get across in this episode is people listening, our colleagues in dentistry, we need to put some effort into this.
Yeah.
You're not just all of a sudden a great leader. You're not just all of a sudden a great periodontist. You're not just all of a sudden great at endo. It's all the same thing. You're not all of a sudden great at communication. 100%. But guess what? If you put time and effort and you practice and you video yourself and you see what you're doing differently and you get feedback from your team and from your patients and from your spouse, you become better because you put effort into it.
Yeah, it's like anything else in life, you know?
And I think the hard thing with this that we dental professionals have is we love things that are measured.
Yep.
Right? So we love saying, okay, this margin is 0.3 and I wanted it 0.3, so I did well. Or this margin is 0.5 and I wanted it 0.3, so I didn't do well.
Yep.
You know, we brought this perio pocket from 5 to 3. So fantastic. We reverse this periodontal disease, let's say. Yeah. We at least reduce the pocket. But I think it's challenging this specific topic because it's hard to measure.
Well, you know, you
more of a feeling.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Do you think that there's ways to measure how good are your relationships besides how are you feeling about them?
I would say absolutely. One of the things that our colleagues struggle most with, particularly in our current reality, is with team and managing team and leading team, et cetera. And the number of docs that I've interacted with that don't actually have job descriptions on file is actually mind-boggling. And you might say, well, Martin, why is it mind-boggling? Because without that structure and clarity, we've cut communication off. We've cut the nose of communication off despite our face, because you're making all these assumptions about what this individual does or doesn't understand relative to their job description. Then you can make assumptions about whether they're doing less or more. They can make assumptions about if they're, you know, putting in 200% effort or not. And it just by not having that on file, not having that as a point of discussion for measured job performance, creates a problem within our relationship, because we're creating an atmosphere of ineffective communication before we even start. You know, Google's Project Aristotle, which became quite famous for looking into what makes teams successful. And what they basically discovered was it wasn't the individual attributes of the people on the team. It was the team itself. It was the ecosystem and the support of the team around them. And so what they determined was that structure and clarity led to the highest performing teams over and over and over again. And so if we're not communicating to begin with relative to that, well, Houston, we got a problem before we even get out of the gate.
Structure and clarity really resonates with me. Mm-hmm. With, you know, in my signature course, Lightside Academy, the Lightside triangle that we look at, the triad is expectations, boundaries, and communication.
Yep.
And why I focused on that was because that's what I was terrible at. Mm-hmm. I was good at dentistry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was bad at boundaries. I was bad at expectations, and I was bad at communicating. And after working with thousands of dentists, what mm-hmm. I realized is that's what most of us are bad at.
Absolutely.
Which is so funny because none of us are spending time on this.
Yeah.
But when you take these things and you invite protocols and you learn how to communicate them and you learn how to set these expectations and the boundaries, humans kind of work their way, things kind of work out.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, with me, I'm very big on setting expectations about complications with patients. I have mm-hmm. a whole course on it. And it's something that no one ever learned.
Mm-hmm.
But once you, first of all, get the mindset of how to do this,
yeah,
change the mindset, you get some of the scripts,
mm-hmm.
you get it in your vocabulary, it rolls off your tongue, you set these expectations, and patients thank you for setting these expectations, for being honest with them. You get deeper relationships with your patients, more trusting. And to turn it on its head so that the dentist listening will like perk up, this usually means higher case acceptance,
mm-hmm.
more referrals,
absolutely,
less stress. It's not like your complications go down,
absolutely.
But the stress and the money involved with these complications goes down.
Yeah. And we talked about this, I think it was in the last episode, where when I was in practice, we always were there for our patients. And if somebody had an emergency, we literally had a script, which basically sounded like, hey, you know, we very much want to treat you. We're concerned about the pain or the question that you have. We invite you to come in. We're not going to promise when we're going to see you, but we will see you with it at some point this morning, this afternoon. And we invite you to bring a book. In fact, I think you commented last time that the book connotes a longer period of
time. Yes.
And not once did we, I can't say not once. It was extremely rare that anyone ever said anything other than thank you for seeing me. Mm-hmm. And the ones that registered a, I'll call it complaint, they didn't stick around very long.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were setting the expectation, they weren't okay with the expectation, and therefore they self-selected to be dentally successful somewhere else.
And that is how it should be. What you mm-hmm. said is so profound to most dentists. When I tell dentists that you are honest, you set the expectation, you even set the low expectation. And if a patient says, you know what? I didn't realize that implants could fail. I thought yeah. you'd do this and they're last forever. I really want to go somewhere where I can have a lifetime warranty.
Mm-hmm.
You should say, I totally understand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be happy to refer you to the local dental society or the dental school where you may be able to find someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have this feeling that one, we feel bad if we can't treat people.
Yeah.
I think we want to treat everybody that comes into our practice mm-hmm. from a good place. It's mm-hmm. like, we're good.
Yeah.
We want to help you. And it really comes out of helping. I think there's also an aspect of financial to it too.
Yes.
You know, this may be a big case and I'd really like to pay my student loans this month and my staff and my overhead. Yeah. So that kind of sucks too. But it's funny how once you have that with or without you attitude, and you're just here to tell the patient what you see, mm-hmm. and it's up to them if they go through it or not.
Yeah.
It goes back to that word you said earlier, which is freeing. You can definitely feel trapped in dentistry. Like, this patient came in, they paid a consultation fee.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like I have to take on this case, but yeah. they have unrealistic expectations. Now, the chances are 95% of the time it's going to be fine and, you know, they're going to be happy.
Totally.
But what if they are that 5%?
Yeah.
And ask me how I know, because I've had these patients, and these are the ones that led me to burnout. These are the ones that I got red flags at the beginning. Or maybe I didn't get red flags because I didn't set the expectation correctly.
Yeah.
I didn't set the boundaries. I was very much boundary free and just whatever the patient wants to do. And it led to a poor relationship with the patient, which led to a ton of stress for me and my team and my family.
Absolutely. I mean,
my family had to see me go through this and have phone calls at night with my team or the patients or my malpractice insurance, you know? So it wasn't just me that suffered. I think everybody involved suffered. And it gets down to the topic of today, which is the bad relationships in dentistry can ruin dentistry for you.
Oh, 100%.
But having great relationships in dentistry can make it such a joyous occasion to treat patients and manage team members.
Absolutely. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, and this maybe could is maybe even a good pivot point to talk about collegial relationships. But at the end of the day, there's more patients to go around than any one of us could ever treat individually. And so to walk around with a mindset of, I can't allow this patient to go, and whatever that means, or whatever way that shakes out, because what if? Like, no, stop. There's not a what if, because unless you're in some type of extremely rural area, which of course happens, but that's very much the minority. There are plenty of people to go around. And so when we have that underlying fear, not only, and by the way, how do you think our team interprets that? Right? When they see that behavior, what message are we sending to them? And look, they're
not
they're
a growth mindset. That's for sure.
It's not a growth mindset. And unfortunately, look, there's many more great team members out there than there are poor team members out there.
Yeah.
While at the same time, we can also say that if you have a couple bad apples in your bushel, in your basket, and they see that behavior, what kind of message do you think that you're sending to them that, you know, they can take advantage of you too, which unfortunately happens. And so that can then ripple down or across to our collegial relationships. A fear starts to percolate inside us that we can't share what's going on. We can't talk about best practices, when the reality is that we need to, because it's for the betterment of everybody in
Yeah, that was definitely early in my career. I was very much in competition.
Yeah.
With other dentists in my city.
Yeah.
I was very jealous, especially of dentists that were maybe 10 years older than me, were much more established, you know, had a bigger name, were charging more, whatever. They had better social media.
Yeah.
And what I realized was, so there's either 40 or 50 dentists in my building. Okay. Not in my county, not in my city, not on the main street, in my building.
Yeah.
There's over 50 dentists. I think it's 52 if last time I checked. And we're all doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, there's times when, like, one of my friends, Victor, will call me and say, oh, yeah, we had, you know, when your patient is here now.
Yeah.
Who cares? Because guess what? It happens both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Patients leave. They don't like our front office. They don't like me. They don't like my partner. They don't, whoever. They don't like going to the ninth floor. They'd rather go to the seventh floor, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Something like this. But you know what has been so nice over the last, I would say, maybe 5 or 6 years, is especially in LA, that a lot of the LA dentists that I know that are kind of more on the higher end, more quality focused, we're all friends.
Yeah.
We're all friends, and many of us went to the same school or we've taken the same courses. But yes, there's competition, right?
Sure.
One person over the other. But yeah, there's whatever, 13 million people in greater LA, right? There's
100%.
Enough people to go around for dentists.
Yeah.
Even a super saturated, one of the most saturated areas in the world, I would argue. We're all still doing okay. And it makes it so nice to have a community that you can count on. For example, in my building, when I was practicing more, if your handpiece broke, You could go down the hall,
yeah,
and go to your friends and say, hey, yep, do you have an extra hand piece that I can use for today? You know, or I remember there were times when people, we have an endodontist down the hall who does implants, and his implant motor broke. Mm-hmm. And he came and borrowed our implant motor. We weren't doing implants that day. So yeah, of course, no problem.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
It's so nice to have that.
Mm-hmm. And so
that's the relationships that are so powerful, even with your competition.
It is. And you know, let's give grace and credence and credit to negative experiences that our friends and colleagues listening have had before.
I've had negative experiences too.
Yeah, there are things that happen in life that just suck. Let's just call it what it is. And so in my coaching program, there were several key principles. One of the key principles I love is the principle of assumption. And it's really changed my life. And I don't use that phrase lightly, because basically it goes something like this. If you assume that the same thing is going to happen all over again, the only way that that assumption is truly valid is if it's the same person under the same set of circumstances, under the same conditions, and the same time frame, with the same pressures. You get the idea?
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't exist. And so have you had problems with team members? Sure. Have you had 20 people apply to a job and three people ghost you? Sure, right? But if you live in some type of major metropolitan area, are you really saying that nobody wants to work anymore? What you're sharing is that you've had experiences with 10 individuals out of 2 million that do not want to work. Okay, great, right? And at the same time, the science is clear. We've talked about positivity before. When we're sitting in that negative space, we're not processing properly. We're not seeing opportunity properly, et cetera. So this assumption thing that just because I had, you know, a bad experience with this patient for this procedure, it's going to happen all over again. Or, oh my gosh, here goes my day. And within the confines of relationships, well, I confided in my colleague about XYZ and they stole my hygienist. Okay, well, is that going to happen again? Probably not. But if it were to happen again, how loyal was that hygienist to your office to begin with? So this assumption thing is huge, absolutely huge.
As you're talking, it's making me think of the circle of influence from Stephen Covey.
Yeah.
Which I think we've talked on the podcast before, but I think it's an important topic to discuss, which is focusing on, it kind of goes back to our, we did an episode on control, what you can control, mm-hmm. what you can't.
Yeah.
And it goes back to that. And I think of that because politics are very much in the world right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people focus on politics a lot, right? Because, you know, you think, it's going to impact me here and here and here. But I would argue that once you vote, forget about it.
Yeah.
Because you can't control it.
Yeah.
Focus on what you can control. What can you control? Mm-hmm. You can control the courses you take, where you work, how you spend your free time, your habits, mm-hmm. who you vote for, what you buy.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times when we're, you know, you and I are traveling all over the world and talking with different study groups, you hear things like, nobody wants to do elective treatment because of the economy. You know, you're up here talking about veneers, Kyle, and you're talking about orthodontic surgery and implants. And you know what? In our small town, no one can afford that.
Right.
No one wants that. Or dental insurance doesn't reimburse me enough. These are things you can't control.
Nope. Right?
We can't control how much dental insurance is. It can be shitty.
Yeah.
And you can feel like you do all this work. What can you control? You can control what insurances you're in network with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can control how you communicate to patients about their insurance and set those expectations.
Yep.
You know, little things like my town doesn't have people that want to do comprehensive treatment plans. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've heard this a lot, especially coming from Spear.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Frank Spear and John Coyce, they're very much comprehensive, interdisciplinary, mm-hmm. you know, Seattle mm-hmm. Study Club is the same way. And there's a lot of show dentistry happening on podiums
sure.
that us quote unquote normal people say, Well, yeah, that's cool that they're doing ortho and perio and veneers and they're raising the vertical, but in my town, people don't do that.
Yeah.
How true is that?
Well, and as a side note, because I can't help myself, because I did live in those halls for well over a decade, and having heard these lectures each dozens of times, maybe more, the thing that I came to, and I think this is a metaphor for life, even if you're not doing these kind of cases, what is it that you can take away from the treatment planning process, from the sequencing process,
I like that.
the thought process? I don't care that you're not going to embark on a comprehensive rehabilitation case. However, that doesn't preclude you from thinking comprehensively, thinking completely to avoid other challenges down the road if that patient decided to go for more forward with a given case. So for me, and this is my personal clinical bias, a comprehensive case is nothing more than the culmination of many different micro steps. And thinking about it in totality is what's actually going to set you free more than anything else, because you're going to create cases that are your favorite topic, more predictable. So I couldn't help myself from getting on my clinical
I
soapbox there.
really like that. It's
Yes.
for some reason I've never heard someone talk about that it kind of goes back to, the joys in life are the journey, not the destination. So the same thing with treatment planning, right? It's almost like appreciate, do it for the process, not for the final treatment plan. Even if
Correct.
the patient says, I don't want to raise the vertical and all of that. Okay, well, let's focus on the perio aspect then, and let's just save
Exactly.
your teeth.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't have to completely change how you talk and how you
Yeah.
look, but let's save your teeth from a health standpoint. And you did go into one of my favorite topics, which is predictable dentistry. And the quote that I like to say is, don't stress about the things you can't control, but if you can control it, then control it.
And
So
so,
that goes back to, I'll give specific examples in dentistry. If you are worried about debonds on your inlays, on your crowns, learn how to bond and do it well and use rubber dam and everything else that's backed by science, but don't sit and complain that the crowns are coming off if you haven't put effort into controlling it, into making it predictable.
Absolutely. And it's kind of funny because we talked about a number of topics within the guise of relationships, but how ironic is it that really what we're talking about in totality is pretty much mindset?
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of is what it is, because if you go into any situation that maybe isn't going so well, and you come in it from a mindset that they did this to me on purpose, or that I'm a horrible dentist and I failed, or that nobody wants to work anymore, or that they're trying to take advantage of me just like Susie or Johnny did last year, that's affecting your relationships. That's affecting your communication. It just came to me. I'm like, because I'm sitting here processing myself, talk about mindset, and I'm like, I thought we were supposed to be talking about relationships. I'm like, well, we are.
And listeners, sometimes we get off topic. Yes, that happens.
I don't even know if we are necessarily.
No, it's not. But you and I like to talk, and we have a lot to say, and we have protocols, and over the years, it's so funny how they all relate.
Oh,
I
100%.
used to think how they were all separate. It was like, if you're in a course, you do this protocol, and then a different course, you do this one, and a different one, you do this one. But when you bring in to account, I love you always use the word totality, the totality of dentistry. When you're talking about business, you're talking clinical, you're talking relationships, communication, they're all intertwined. And I was just looking at this quote that I just said before. Don't stress about the things you can't control. And if you can control it, then control it. Let's talk about that first part. Don't stress about the things you can't control. That goes to relationships. I think of even patients that can't afford something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to really stress on the fact that I would give a patient a treatment plan and they would say, you know, I can't do that. That's something I can't do. I felt the need to then, okay, well, let's change the treatment plan and let's do this and that. Cause I really, it came from a good place. I really wanted to help this person. I really wanted to treat this person. I really wanted to improve their life in some way. But if the treatment plan I gave them is the correct diagnosis and treatment plan, it's not my responsibility for them to be able to afford it.
Correct.
And similarly, when you have team members that, like you said, sometimes you get the bad apple in the bushel. If you can't control it, then don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, you let them go or something. But if you can control it, then control it. And that takes effort. And that takes time. Sometimes that takes money. And that's why I love what we do with Lightside Live, is because we're taking, a lot of people come in with a different mindset, going back to your topic of mindset. They come into that specific course with a different mindset. We usually change their mindset on many things. And then on top of that, we give them the tools to be able to control some of these topics. Well,
and I know you'll agree with this. Many times they come in and some of them, many of them aren't even sure why they're there, because they know that there's a different way. Maybe for them as an individual, something's off. They're looking to kind of craft a different tomorrow because they're frustrated or they're stressed out or they're burned out, et cetera. And then, you know, even through half a day one, all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that this also applied to my husband, my wife, my kids.
Yes, yes.
And one of our Lightside alums who remain nameless, who's also one of my clients, I was so proud of this individual this past weekend. I haven't even told you about this yet. So this individual is having some challenges with team. There was a team member that was thinking about leaving. It wasn't sure. And the dentist gets a text on Saturday saying basically, hey, I got this other offer. It's like, I don't remember the exact, let's just say 10 bucks more an hour. I don't remember the exact number. And, you know, I'm not looking to leave, but I wanted to tell you about this. And so this client of mine who would have jumped to, why is this person telling me this on a weekend? You know, now you just ruined my weekend, blah, blah, blah. That's not what they did. You know what they did? They piped back over text and they said, listen, thank you very much for sharing this with me. They reiterated their knowledge of some other challenging things that this individual had going on in their life. They said, you know, it makes sense that you're asking me this. And there's a lot of factors that I need to consider. I need to talk to my financial advisor. I need to talk to the office manager for us to be able to figure out what would work out for us mutually. And then he said something that just warmed my heart. He said, please don't take this response as a negative. All I want you to understand is the various things that I need to consider in order to give you an answer, which I just can't do over the weekend. And before I say anything else, what do you think about that response?
Well, I first love that they set the expectation.
Yes.
And I love that they didn't feel the need to give an answer.
Yeah.
And this happens all the time. I know that in, you know, like when we were creating Pearl and we were selling the product, that many times we had salespeople doing sales to dentists. And sometimes the dentist would ask them some dental question, and many times they felt like they needed to answer. Yeah. And I would always tell them to say something like, that's a great question. You know, I'm not a dentist, but let me ask our co-founder, Dr. Stanley, and he can get back to you. And because many times they just felt like, oh, but I have to answer that, right? And no, if you don't have the answer, you show the humility and say, I don't know if I can make that, or I need to research something, or I need to look at something else. Or like you said, I need to talk to my financial advisor, or other people.
Yeah.
Let me get back to you on that.
And by the way, I love
that there was a boundary set too.
Yes. And so I talked to my client about this. I said, how did you feel after you gave that response? And he said, I was able to enjoy the rest of my weekend. I was like, good for you. Them. And what ended up happening, by the way, this had a good ending. The team member stayed, and because the doc was open-minded and in a positive frame of mind, because he wanted to keep this individual and he was pretty sure the individual wanted to stay, they then countered with some other stuff about, listen, you know, we would like to do this for you and with you, and with higher compensation comes higher responsibilities. What are your thoughts about altering your schedule? What are your thoughts about being able to do this or being able to do that? Blah, 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 blah. And the individual was like, great, I can do that. And now everybody's happy. For me, it was such a masterclass in how you can change, you know, grow over time and not approach these relationship challenges from a judgmental negative place, but from a positive place. And it doesn't have to be a team member. What, let's say you send a patient to a specialist or vice versa, you send it back and the patient says that your opposite colleague said X, Y, Z. Well, you don't know they said that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what context they said it in. You don't know any of that stuff. So instead of calling that colleague up with guns blazing, as the phrase goes, when I call them up and go, hey, I want to talk to you about this. The patient shared X, not really sure what they meant by that. And I wanted to touch base with you. Like, what a completely different way to handle that situation.
Yep.
So
that's great.
Yeah.
It's this topic of relationships, so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when anybody listening to this is not doing dentistry anymore, is not going to congresses anymore and not going to meetings and not doing CE and doesn't have a license, I think they'll look back on their time in dentistry mm-hmm. and think about all the great people that they met,
mm-hmm.
the great people that they spent their days with, whether that was patients, team. You know, I have like implant reps that are great friends of mine.
Yeah.
Or people, companies that I've worked with, you know, with my AI company too, people that I've met, just people that are really dear friends of mine through the dental world. And that's what I think is so special about this profession, is that we can make relationships with people that last a lifetime.
Oh, 100%.
It's more than teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I've heard Dr. Spear say so many times, some of his closest friends that he's made within dentistry, in particular over the years, are individuals that he's met at CE courses.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even saying the ones he taught at. That's,
yeah.
Frank Spear wasn't born from the womb as Frank Spear, right? Well, technically he was, but you know what I mean? So, but that's true with any luminary, right? Like, there's a journey to get where you are in that current time today. And so it goes to the whole concept of like-minded individuals, you know, soaring with eagles, not flocking with turkeys, as Walter Haley used to say, those kind of things. Because, you know, there's a lot of like-minded people within our profession. And there's also a lot of people that aren't like-minded, and both are okay. And mm-hmm. so it's just a matter of finding your tribe. And, you know, I was watching a Netflix documentary on Blue Zones this past week.
Yep.
And so they were comparing all the different blue zones of Loma Linda, Japan, Southeast Asia, Greece. Like all the different, Greece. And one of the commonalities was actually community. And so for some, it was faith-based. In Japanese, it was the phrase that starts with an I that just flew out of my
Ikigai.
Head. Thank you. About mm-hmm. passion. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't necessarily faith-based, but it was, mm-hmm. it was purpose-based.
Yeah.
And so that's a huge commonality. Yeah, they had plant-based diet. Well, actually, their diets varied, actually. They weren't all plant-based. But the community thing was really important. So, you know, look, if you haven't found your people yet, keep looking. Because mm-hmm. they're out there. They really are.
Well, great. I think this was a fun discussion.
Yeah.
An important discussion.
Yeah.
And I hope that it changed some people's mindsets that were listening today. Talk about the importance of relationships, how we can spend time and effort and money to make these better. And why I would encourage you to do that is because that's where most of my stress came from.
Yep.
It didn't come from my clinical work. Mm. It came from bad relationships I had with team members that led to litigation, bad relationships that I had with patients that sometimes led to litigation too.
Yeah.
And bad relationships that I had with friends and family because of the stress I was having in the practice.
Yeah.
had I focused more on that, relationships is one of the letters in one of the acronyms that I use for daily habits, which is dreams, diet, relationships, exercise, appreciation, meditation, and sleep. And it's right in, it's kind of in the center because it's so important.
Yeah.
So thanks everybody for listening today. We would appreciate this if you could write us a review. If you could write us a review, that would mean a lot. We don't ask for very many things from you. We try to give you guys a lot of free content with this podcast, but we would love a review. If you think it's good, write something or send this to a friend. If you've got a colleague or a friend or a team member that you think this could benefit them, send it to them. I know when I have friends that send me podcasts, I listen to them. I save them, I download them and listen to them rather than just hearing about a random one. Lastly, if you haven't signed up for Lightside Live, the signups are happening. We just had another one the other day. So it's filling up. Make sure you sign up. Go to wellnessanddentistry.com. Go to our links and you'll see the link for Lightside Live. This is our 2-day in-person workshop with me and Martin and colleagues from around the country. It's really going to be a fun one. So thanks everybody for listening to this episode of Wellness and Dentistry. And we will see you next week.
Take care.